Amen. Well, friends, it's really good to be with you this morning. I'm about to read our scripture passage this morning. It's the Lucan story of Palm Sunday. And as I do, many people have probably heard this before. If you haven't, then you're in for a good one. But if you have, I invite you to try your best to visualize it, think about it, even kind of almost put yourself in the crowds there thinking about this experience from Luke 19, verses 28 through 40. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached the Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you. As you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'" Mm. Thanks be to God for his good news.
Amen.
Well, friends, it's a different kind of triumphal entry than maybe we would expect, and certainly than those first viewers would have expected. Triumphal entries were an ancient practice. You may have heard this from Pastor Ray recently. It's something that this was somewhat to be expected from a glorious, you know, military ruler or some sort of political ruler as well coming in. But Jesus does it a little differently than we would have expected. And as we come to know Jesus, we see that he does seem to do things differently. And here's another example. For one, you all may have noticed, I don't know, it's kind of hard, you kind of got to get really into the text, but several of the things that happen in the course of the story are biblical references. And Jesus is coming, and he's the biblical king, and that's important to recognize as different than these other kinds of kings and that have triumphal entries into Jerusalem. But the thing that we're really going to focus on this morning is this choice of riding in on a colt, on a young donkey, which certainly would not have been the norm, and certainly would have distinguished Jesus' triumphal entry from the triumphal entries that people would have expected in this day and age. Instead, they would have expected right on some wonderful horse, wonderful stallion that would look like, hey, we're coming in, this is military might, this is a ruler, this is someone who's got great power and authority and could conquer anyone. Jesus comes in much more humbly, right, on a donkey. That's certainly a very different kind of entry than maybe we would expect from the King of Kings. And so it made me think about, what kind of king do we hope for? And what kind of entry would we have expected from our king and from the Christ? And it also makes me wonder, would we have been disappointed? You know, I'm wondering, especially if I had been Jewish, right? If we were Jewish and having this experience of the Messiah coming in, this idea at least of the Messiah coming in. And then Jesus, we know the rest of the story, right? Jesus comes in and does he come and overthrow all the earthly powers? He does not, right? Does he come in and really give the people everything that they were hoping for? No, for especially if you were Jewish, right? Was there this restoration in this holy way that you would have hoped from your Messiah, where everyone would know the truth of your faith? Really, it's not the way that the Jews would have hoped, and it's not the way that most people would have hoped for their king to come. And sometimes I wonder, would I have been disappointed too? Would I hope that my king would come in such a way where all my enemies would be vanquished and defeated, and everything that I've ever wanted in life is going to happen exactly the way I had hoped for? And would it really happen in a way that it kind of was made easy on me, where kind of the king does it all and we sort of just get to cheer and have very little part in it? And it's not really how Jesus did it, right? He invites his disciples to come and follow him, and this triumphal entry is going to end in going to the cross, right? And what we know the coming events of the week before us. It's not what we would expect in a king, and maybe not what we would hope for. And so if I thought about that, and I thought about if we had had false hopes about that and how our king would come, it makes me wonder if sometimes we construct false images of God even now in our current day and age and in our current experience as Christians in this country and in this world. Do we sometimes construct an image of God, an idea of God, that really is a God that we would want, the God that we're hoping for, as opposed to the God we know in Jesus Christ? Let me ask a couple more questions to maybe get at this more. Do we imagine God to be one who, what God cares most about is giving us prosperity and health? Those are probably some of the most common things that people pray for, especially maybe Christians pray for. We pray for prosperity and health. And I'll tell you, friends, there's nothing wrong, I think, with praying for all these things, and certainly I have no problem praying for health in terms of God, our healer. But in Jesus Christ, as we look to the ministry and teaching of Jesus Christ, really, God is about so much more than that. And it's really a different kind of kingdom than one where we're just going to get rich and it's going to be, life is going to be made easy on us, and it's going to be all about this kind of hedonistic pleasure. That's not the faith of Jesus Christ. That's not the kingdom that God has brought to earth in Jesus Christ. And so we have to ask ourselves, are there days that really we realize that that's what we've imagined God to be, one who would just help us, one who's trying to help us in these interests that are ours? How about another idea? Do we sometimes think of God as sort of only on our side more than on the side of other people? Do we think of God as for us but not for others? Do we think of God as only concerned about me? I think if we do, I think again we're missing that what Jesus is doing. We're missing what the true King is all about. In many ways, for me, what I'm realizing is that if I'm going to be truthful and faithful to the King who is Jesus Christ, really I need to look at what God is doing in the lives of others. I need to especially, I think, look to what you might call the poor or the broken or people that are in a deep time of need and see what's happening there. And look to, because those might be the places where God is bringing salvation and healing. And I want to come and see that and join that and be blessed by that, rather than just thinking about myself, rather than thinking about, is things going well for me? Or am I getting all that I want? I might be missing this kingdom of Jesus Christ. And so, friends, I think today, this morning on Palm Sunday, I think we're invited to rethink about this a little bit, about the kingdom that is specifically Christian, and what does that mean, and how does it compare with what we're living in a day-to-day basis. I want to make sure we're feeling this, so I'm going to try something. It's a little goofy this morning, but I've asked Sean to help me with something. There's just a little video. I don't think there's even going to be sound, but it's a little kind of psychological game, more or less, that I'm hoping makes us feel this. So if you'll indulge me and do it as directed on the screen.
Yes.
Ray got it. Some of y'all get it?
Yes.
Some of y'all got it? What about this? Did you spot the gorilla?
Yes, I did. I saw the
gorilla. Ray saw it?
We haven't seen or heard about a video like this before. About half is the gorilla.
I did not notice either of those. Let's
rewind and watch it again.
The curtain changed.
Here comes the gorilla, and there goes a player, and the curtain is changing from red to gold.
Yep, you know, this is
when you're looking for a gorilla, you often miss other unexpected events. And that's the monkey business illusion.
So Julianne,
thank you. the original gorilla experiment at theinvisiblegorilla.com.
So Julianne showed me this just yesterday as we were talking about this idea of this sermon this morning about how it really depends what we're looking for, right? When we live our lives, are we looking for certain things from God and maybe not looking in the right places and looking for the right things? And we might miss quite a bit, right? And I mean, I'll tell you, I actually missed all of it the first time. I missed the gorilla, and I definitely missed the curtains. It sounded like in here a lot of people saw the gorilla, but it sounds like most maybe missed the curtains, I don't know. But anyway, but it's an example of this, right? And obviously, in the experiment, it's not totally fair, right? You're told to focus on one thing and focus on another. So my hope is today that we see the truth of this for how we live our lives. There is a lot in this life that is pushing us to not look to Jesus as King and not look at the God that reigns in our lives. We're taught to look for certain kinds of victory, certain kinds of winning, certain kinds of success. And I think when we live that way, I think we often miss some of the places God is doing wonderful work in our lives, and God is bringing healing and salvation in ways that we might not see. And again, for me, this most often happens when I'm looking inward and missing the places where God is doing beautiful things in this world. I mean, it's so interesting how often my, you know, how good I'm feeling in a given day is really just about things that only have to do with me. And, you know, that's okay. That's part of the human experience, I think. But I wish more and more if I would be looking to other lives and looking for stories and looking, where's God at work today? What are you doing, God? I believe God is at work in other people's lives, especially where there is great need. I mean, again, think of this Palm Sunday story and who would be celebrating, who's waving the palm branches, who is so excited. This is Jesus, who has really gone in a completely different direction than most would have expected. Instead of being with the Pharisees, instead of being with the religious leaders and kind of with the people in power, Jesus has brought healing on those who are desperate. He's fed those who are hungry. He's done miracles in people's lives that were in a deep time of need and brokenness. He's really been a king in many ways of the lowly, instead of what you would think of the king of the powerful. And so in our lives today, I think this still holds true. If we are only looking at the celebrities and the powerful and the people that are on the TV screens and ourselves and the rich, I think we're going to miss a lot of what God is doing among us and around us. And I think it's going to mean we got to get away from the TV screen. It's going to mean we got to sometimes go out and see what God is doing in this world, in other places, and especially in times of need. And this Palm Sunday, I'm feeling the invitation in my life to try and do that myself, to get outside of myself in this way. So friends, I do have good news for you, that Jesus is the true King. That there are all these other kinds of kings that have come. Many other have made triumphal entries even into Jerusalem. But only Jesus Christ is the true King, the King of Kings. And his kingdom is an invitation into something different. It's an invitation to a different way of living. It's an invitation to a different set of truths than this world offers us. And it's an invitation to experience what God is doing and the healing and salvation that God is bringing, I believe, even to this very day, among us and around us and in our very lives. And Jesus invites us to follow him. Now, this invitation to follow him is not an easy one. It's not an invitation to just clap and shout hooray. It's not an invitation to watch something and rule and say my side won and I got it right and my set of thinking or opinions proved to be victorious and somehow I get glory for that. His invitation is to follow him. It's to follow him into a life that might mean betrayal. It means following him into a life where you're living not according to the world around you and the culture around you's set of values and definitions of success. It's an invitation to love people that are different from us. It's an invitation to see God at work in other people's lives and actually come to love others in such a way where we would receive such abundant joy and happiness from experiencing that, right? I mean, that's one of the key things that I believe we're invited to experience, is that we can become people who we see God go and heal somebody else and God do something amazing in someone else's life, and that becomes the best thing that happened to us that day or us that week, because we've identified with them and with other people, and we've loved God like that, and we've loved our neighbor as ourselves. He invites us to follow him in ways that that lead to crosses, right? We know that Jesus led to the cross, and we know that in our lives, to follow Jesus means sometimes having to put to death certain things, put to death all kinds of things that separate us from God, those things that make it where it's hard for us to love somebody else. It means to fight for others where there's not justice, and that might mean going against sometimes the powers. It means sometimes breaking against the authorities even, right? We know that Jesus was considered to have done just that. He's put to death by the state. And so it's this invitation that God has for us is a great one, and it's also a challenging one. It's one that is going to require us to say yes and to follow. But friends, what I'm so thankful to know this day is that we celebrate, what, the almost 2,000th Palm Sunday together today, because we've experienced this to be true, right? The church has experienced in Jesus Christ that Jesus is the King of Kings, that he does hold life, that his truth is truth, yes. That the abundant life that there is in Jesus Christ does change anything, everything, that a life lived by loving God and loving others in this way is where the fullness of life is where deep joy can be found, way more so than in the lives that sometimes, if we're honest with ourselves, I think we're seeking. Sometimes we're thinking, I would be happy if I could just live on a beach, or I would be happy if I could just have this much money in my bank account, or I could be happy if I could just take it easy. Friends, I think we probably, even though we get trapped into living like that sometimes, hopefully I think as we stop and think about it, we remember that's actually really not true at all, is it? No, that there's much more to life, that Jesus Christ has much more for us than these other kinds of kings. Jesus is the King of Kings, and he's inviting us to be a part of his kingdom, to join him in the wonderful work that he is doing in this world. So this Palm Sunday, I invite you to consider the next few days of this week, of Holy Week, and recognize that we are invited to say yes to a different kind of kingdom. Think about the ways in which we experience our faith. Think about the ways you pray and what you pray for, and maybe ask God, is there more? Is there something that I'm missing? Am I seeking you? I'll tell you, I wish that we went around in the church and we're constantly testifying to what God was doing in this world. And I'll tell you, it depends on who I'm talking to. There are people in this room who are doing that. And there are people that are connected, I think, with a lot of the kinds of things God is doing. And they go out and they look for the poor. And they look for places where there's somebody who's coming in humility. And they look for someone who's being vulnerable and going to God and submitting and saying, I need help. And there's constant testimonies of ways God is saying yes and healing those people. And then there's some, and I'm sometimes more like this, people who we're kind of insulated our lives in such a way where we're not seeing a lot of these things, and we're missing that. And then I don't know if we have as much to testify about and to witness as we could if we kind of went out in this world in these ways and saw what God is doing. And so friends, I hope this is an invitation to you to experience even Christ differently this week and from here on out, an invitation to know that Jesus' kingdom is for all of us. It's for all of us to experience God's love in a new way, in a way that changes this whole world. It's an invitation to recognize the truth that God's love really does conquer all. And so friends, on this Palm Sunday, we go with Christ and we ask him, even in celebration of who he is, to help us to know him in his truth, to know him in his fullness, to seek the kind of king that Jesus Christ is. Would you pray with me? Holy God, we are so thankful for the events of this first Holy Week, because in it, God, we are reminded of who you are. God, you know that sometimes we forget, sometimes we construct a God who is not you. Would you heal us from those temptations, those unintentional, maybe cultural values that sometimes become our own? And instead, God, free us, Lord, to see you as you are, God of the humble, God of the broken, God of all, and mostly God of love. Jesus Christ, you are King. We are so thankful for who you are, that we can praise you and know you to be true, know you to be in power, know you to be inviting us, Lord, into your kingdom this day on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.